irresponsible. Yes, I'm unreliable. Throw in undependable too. Do my foolish alibis bore you? Well, I'm not too clever. I just adore you. Call me unpredictable. Tell me I'm impractical. Rainbows I'm inclined to pursue. Call me irresponsible. Yes, I'm unreliable. But it's undeniably true. I'm irresponsibly mad for you. Call me irresponsible. Yes, I'm unreliable. But it's undeniably true. I'm irresponsibly mad for you.
Very often we end the programme with Julie London, so I thought this week we would start the programme with her, and wasn't that splendid? Call me irresponsible, and welcome to Bigley at Night with me, RB, here on a fresh Wednesday morning for you, although, pour moi, it is still very much Tuesday. Andrew, just outside of Colchester, good morning to you. You have said on a number of occasions you'd like to hear some more from Deanna Durbin, and you know what? I couldn't agree more.
My lonely tears away.
absolutely beautiful Deanna Durbin, and Someone to Care for Me. And we'll have some more from her, actually, Andrew, just after the second chapter of Six Napoleons. So I'd say that would be coming up in about 45, 50 minutes time, something like that. But I do hope you enjoyed that. Coming up now, well-known actor Pat O'Brien. Here he is with the Leprechaun Library.
A little boy read in a wonderful book, bickety-backety-book, that fairy folk dwell in the dell by the brook, brickety-brackety-brook. So he hurried straight off, fast as short legs could walk, wickety-wackety-walk. Oh, I'll find him, said he, and we'll have a good talk. Tickety-tackety-talk. Ole, ole, olulu, my darling, children have quizzical ways. Ole, ole, olulu, my darling, and some keep them all of their days. Now he came to a man who was mending a clock. Clickety-clackety-clock. He got it to tick, but it just wouldn't talk. Tickety-tackety-talk. And the little boy cried, will you come help me look? Lickety-lackety-look. Pooh-pooh, said the man, as his finger he shook. Shickety-shackety-shook. Ole, ole, olulu, my darling, be forget they were small. Ole, ole, olulu, my darling, they think they are wise 'cause they're tall. Now the little boy came to a door in a rock, rickety rackety rock. It opened right up when he started to knock, nickety knackety knock. And there were the leprechauns under an oak, ickety-ackety-oak, a-dancing together like vapor and smoke, smickety-smackety-smoke. Ole, ole, olulu, my darling, children have quizzical ways. Ole, and some keep them all of their days.
Well, that was the Leprechaun Library. It was a Pat O'Brien, who for many years played, I think, basically Irish characters in films, and he was in a lot of films as well. He was known as the resident Irishman in California, and wasn't actually born in Ireland at all. He was born, I believe, in Milwaukee, but he was a great actor and a good singer as well, so bless him for that. Let's see, you know what, if I was to start now with Bing Crosby, we'd be exactly on time. What do you think?
Become you, it goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear. Moonlight becomes you. I'm thrilled at the sight, and I could get so romantic tonight. You're all dressed up to go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. What a night to go dreaming. mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight, although moonlight becomes you so. To go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. What a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight, although moonlight becomes you so. Whisper in your name, and the day after forever, I know I'll do the same. Daytime or winter, I won't let you out of sight. After forever, we'll talk about tonight. Your laughter is a melody that I'll remember long. It plays upon my heartstrings. It's my favorite song. All through a lifetime, I'll be loving you, and then all the day after forever, I'll just begin again. Be loving you, and then on the day after forever, I'll just begin
Well, two songs this week from Bing Crosby. We started off with Moonlight Becomes You, and then we had The Day After Forever. And we'll have some more from Bing Crosby around about the same time next week. Time now to go off to Germany and say good morning to Holger. And he each week sends me a song, which we always sit and enjoy. And I think this week's song is going to be quite upbeat. It's from Didi and his ABC Boys, Nicht eine Mark.
Nicht eine Mark. Mir blieb nicht eine Mark. Ich war mit dir in Rimini und sogar in Saint-Tropez. Doch danke hast du nie gesagt, nein, du sagtest nur okay. Ich gab dir alles, einfach alles. Mir blieb nicht eine Mark, nicht eine Mark. Leider, leider, no, no, no. Weil ich dir nichts mehr bieten kann, sagst du nun zu mir, bye-bye. Ich gab dir alles, einfach alles, mir blieb nicht eine Mark. Dann sagst du nur zu mir, bye-bye. Ich gab dir alles, einfach alles. Mir blieb nicht eine Mark, nicht eine Mark. Blieb mir nicht eine Mark.
Whoa. Well, there you go. That was He Nicht Eine Mark. Interesting, I thought, that they sang No, 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 like the Beatles did, instead of going 999, but then I guess they might have ended up with the police. And then, oh, sorry, I couldn't resist that one. Holger, thank you so much for that. Really did enjoy that. And another song from you for next week would be absolutely wonderful. We never take your songs for granted. They're always very, very good. Thank you so much for that. Where are we now? I think it's time for a little bit of Gracie Fields.
You've got to
lesser cotton socks, the great Gracie Fields, and sing as we go. Time now for Carol Gibbons and his Savoy Orpheans. I've got my eyes on you.
Checking on all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise. Keep your eyes on me.
Carol Gibbons and his Savoy Orpheans, and I've got my eyes on you. So how you been for the past week since I've been with you? I hope you've been well, and I hope that everybody has been kind and that your health is good. I seem now, I'm getting over my cold. I'm not coughing nearly as much as I used to, but I now seem to have completely, or just about completely, lost the hearing in my right lug hole, which is really rather annoying. So I'm going to have to go down and see the hearing specialist for that, I guess. Don't seem to be able to get it back. I squirted a load of Debrox into it last week, and a load of water, and that didn't seem to do anything at all. And I'm very wary of sticking anything into my ears, quite frankly, which I think is probably the responsible way to think. So I'm going to have to go and get the hearing checked out now, which is crazy, but it means I can really only hear out of my left ear, which is really rather a shame. I just hope there's not too much happening on my right.
Angel Radio, music and memories.
The home of Big Ben Swing.
Also the home of Al Martino.
My heart, so darling. sure you know I need your love so badly. Here is my heart, my life, and my all. Please be mine. Stay here in my heart. Say that you can't take this heart I give gladly. Sure.
Martino and Here in My Heart, and that was number one. I think it was the first ever official number one in the United Kingdom towards the end of 1952, if memory serves me correctly, and it was there for the whole of the chart, for the whole of the year that the chart was there, which I think was about 8 weeks, but nice song anyway. So I hope you enjoyed that, Al Martino. Good morning to John in Felixstowe. John, thank you so much for your Beagle's Big Three, and he says, actually, I've got a problem because I love this group so much and I really want four. Is there any chance? Well, you know, John, we're pretty loosey-goosey around here on Beagle at Night. We'll do anything for a little bit of fun, and the Cordettes certainly are fun. So Beagle's Big Three this week with four songs for John and Felixstowe, the Cordettes.
Blind can he be? you so, how I've wanted for you. You'll never know. Please, Eddie, don't make me wait too long. Oh, Eddie, Eddie, I love you so. Eddie, please write just one line. Tell me your love is still only mine.
Lollipop, lollipop.
very nice to John in Felixstowe. Thank you so much. He chose the quartets this week for us in Beagle's Big Three, and actually he chose four songs. We heard their Lollipop, Hummingbird, Eddie May Love, and To Know Him Is to Love Him. And we decided to play all four because, A, we can. We're not that exactly strict around here on Beagle at Night. And they were all pretty short songs as well, quite frankly. I think the shortest was 2 minutes 10 seconds, which was the last one, and the longest was the first one at 2 minutes and 21 seconds. So, John, thank you so much for that. Really did enjoy hearing the Cordettes four in a row this week. And if you would like to be the purveyor of Beagle's Big Three in next week's programme, please do get in touch. All you have to do is email me, roy@angelradio.uk. Let me know the artist that you would like to hear and the titles of the song. If you want me to choose for you, I'm happy to do it. Either way is fine. You're listening to Angel Radio, and time now for our second chapter of John Gielder and Rafe Richardson in Sherlock Holmes and the Six Napoleons, written, of course, by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. We left off last week with Lestrade sending a telegram begging Holmes and Watson to go to 131 Hick Street as soon as possible. And, of course, they went.
By George, Watson, it must be attempted murder at the very least. There's nothing else will hold the interest of the London Messenger boy.
There's the street waiting for us, Holmes. Good morning, Inspector.
Morning, gentlemen. Come in, come in.
Yeah, it's the Napoleon business again, Mr. Holmes.
Ah, I guessed as much. What is it this time, Lestrade?
Murder, sir.
Splendid. Do close the door, my dear Watson.
Yes, sir.
This confounded crowd.
This is Mr. Horace Harker, gentlemen, the owner of this house. Mr. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, Mr. Harker.
Good morning, sir.
How do you do?
Mr. Harker's a reporter for the Central Press Syndicate, Mr. Holmes.
I'd gathered so much already, Lestrade. Well, Mr. Harker, will you kindly tell us exactly what has happened?
Well, I'll do my best, sir. It all seems to centre around a bust of Napoleon I bought for this very room about 4 months ago. Mm-hmm.
Where did you buy it, Mr. Harker?
What? Harding Brothers, you know, a few doors up from the High Street Station. I don't know what that's got to do with it. Anyway, most of my writing work's done at night, you know. Habit of mine. And I was sitting upstairs in my den about 3 o'clock this morning when I suddenly heard the most horrible yell from down here. Oh, the most dreadful sound, Mr. Holmes.
Plainly news on your own doorstep, Mr. Harker. As a reporter, I should have thought you would have welcomed such a diversion.
Oh, I couldn't. I was too unnerved, I don't mind telling you.
I see.
Anyway, I pulled myself together a bit and I got hold of a poker and came down. And when I got in here, the window was open, sir. And the first thing I saw was that the Napoleon bust had gone from the mantelpiece.
Intriguing, most intriguing.
I'm sure my monomaniac theory is the only possible one, Holmes.
Yes, 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 of course. And the murder, Mr. Harker?
Well, I rushed to the front door and threw it open and there, on the doorstep.
Well?
I nearly fell over. A dead man who was lying there.
Good gracious me.
Yes, he had a great gash in his throat and the whole place was swimming in blood.
But who was this murdered man? You've made inquiries, Lestrade.
Of course. There's nothing to show who he was. We've got the body in the mortuary. You can see it if you want.
What does he look like?
Tall, thin, sunburnt, poorly dressed. Artisan of some kind, I'd say. Obviously a foreigner. There wasn't any name on his clothing and there was nothing in his pockets except an apple and some string and a shilling map of London and a man's photograph. Here it is, Mr. Holmes.
Aha. Uh-huh. Plainly not a picture of the fellow himself, judging by your description. What do you make of this, Watson?
Well, let's see. Mm-hmm. Well, somewhat simian in type, eh?
Yes.
Thick eyebrows, you see, Holmes? Very peculiar projection on the lower part of the face. Altogether, I should say, Southern European, I'd guess.
Admirable, Watson. And the bustless trade. What happened to Mr. Harker's bust of Napoleon?
We had news of it 5 minutes before you came. Smashed to smithereens in the front garden of an empty house in Camden Hill Road.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I'm going round to see it now. Want to come?
Well, of course, of course. We leave you in peace now, Mr. Harker. I'm sure you must be impatient to write up your own story for one of your newspapers.
Oh, it's too late now, I'm afraid. The first editions are probably out with it already.
Oh, that's too bad.
Just my luck. Oh, but perhaps a cup of tea. I've been too confused to write a thing so far.
Well, at any rate, you must try. And you can quote me if you like. Say that I believe my friend Watson's theory is almost certainly the right one.
Ah, my dear Holmes, you really think
that... Yes, he is convinced that the crime was the work of a dangerous homicidal lunatic with Napoleonic delusions.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Holmes. Yes, I could certainly use that.
You really do believe it, Holmes.
Why not, Watson? Why not? It'll serve for the moment and for the press. Come, Lestrade, let us view the remains.
Ah, yes, the body, Mr. Holmes.
No, the bust. I propose to indulge in a little jigsaw work. You see, if all the fragments fit together to make the head complete again...
What then, Holmes?
Well, I may be able to... Well, you and I will have some interesting work to do, Watson. Good morning, Mr. Harker.
Come, gentlemen.
With some little trouble, Holmes succeeded in reconstructing the whole bust from the splinters scattered over the garden of that empty house. Why he did this, I didn't know. Lestrade and I obediently, but mystified, fetched and carried at his direction. Holmes' face was enigmatic as he and I next drove to the premises of Morse Hudson, the supplier of the first three busts that had been broken. From him, we learnt the name of the original manufacturers of the articles, Messrs. Gelder and Company of Stepney. In rapid succession, we drove through the fringe of fashionable London, theatrical London, literary London, commercial London, and finally, maritime London, where the tenement houses swelter and reek with the outcasts of Europe. There, in a side street, we found the statuette factory, and we learnt from the proprietor.
Oh, but there are thousands, Mr. Holmes. We took thousands of casts of the Divine Napoleon.
I've no doubt it's a noble work, but this batch of six, noted down in these books of yours which I have before me, you see the entries, Watson, all dated about a year ago.
Yes, and marked in two consignments. Yes, one set of three to Morse Hudson.
And the other three to Harding Brothers of Kensington. Ah, who does the casting work on these statuettes of yours, Mr. Gelder?
Usually Italians, Mr. Holmes. We find they work well.
Ah, and you recognize this particular Italian, this obvious Italian? Watson, pray show him the photograph that Lestrade gave us.
Yes. Here it is.
Ah, the rascal. Beppo.
Beppo, indeed. Well, what was his other name?
I never knew it, even though he used to work here. Oh, he was a madman, sir. I never knew a man with such a temper. He knifed another Italian in the street one day, and then he came running into the works with the police on his heels, and they arrested him in this very workroom.
Well, and what sentence did he get?
The man he attacked lived, and so he got off with a year.
Uh-huh.
I must be out by now, of course. If you wanted to know where he is, we have a cousin of his here who could tell you.
No, not a word to the cousin, I beg of you.
No?
The matter's most important, Mr. Gelder. Indeed, the further I go with it, the more important it seems to grow. Watson, my dear fellow, where have you got to? Are you ready?
Yes, I'm here, Holmes. I was just...
Well, come along. There's no time to lose. I don't think we need intrude upon you then anymore, Mr. Gelder. I'm much obliged to you.
Oh, not at all. Only too glad to help you.
Desires will come to you.
extreme when you wish upon a star as dreamers do. Fate is kind. She lives to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
Orchestra with vocalizations from Ray Eberly, and When You Wish Upon a Star came from 1940. And before that, John Gielgud and Rafe Richardson with Chapter 2 of Six Napoleons, and we will have Chapter 3 next week, which is the penultimate chapter. Hope you are enjoying that. Got some nice emails during the week saying that they were enjoying it, so thank you. Do very much appreciate it. You're listening to Angel Radio
on your old Valve wireless and your new digital radio and computers, laptops, worktops, iPads, earpads, knee pads, mobile phones, headphones, saxophones, Wi-Fi radios, hi-fi radios, high-priced radios, low-priced radios. The fabulous sound of Angel Radio.
Bidding you good night. I love you, and because you love me too, I pray and say thank heaven for you. I'll dream, and you will be in everything I dream, the way you are in everything I do. That's why I say thank heaven for you. You are my own, just I alone. Touch you with tender fingertips, and when you're near, true and sincere, you bring a song to my lips. So rest, and if my prayer is answered, you'll be blessed, and I'll be blessed each night my whole life through, and pray and say thank heaven for you. Thank you.
from 1933, and that was Anson Weeks waving the stick at his orchestra, and the vocalization come from Art Wilson. I do hope you enjoyed that. We've got a very nice little bit of posh coming at the top of the hour, which is what, just over 5 minutes time. We're actually going to play the whole overture. I'm not going to tell you yet what the overture is. Usually only the last bit gets played, but I'm going to play you the whole lot, even though it's coming in at 13 minutes, just because it really is a beautiful piece, and because, as I say, we can be reasonably loosey-goosey around here, but that's to come in about 5.5 minutes time. Right now, to take us at least halfway there, once again, Deanna Durbin. Durbin and Amapola Andrew, I hope you enjoyed both of those in the program. I've already got two songs lined up from Deanna Durbin for next week, and I'm not promising, but there might be at least one more in this program. I don't have it in the queue at the moment, I'm being totally honest, but you know, things happen. Records don't play that should play, and you press a button and nothing happens, just like then. And you know, you sort of make it up as you go along, so you never can tell. To take us up to a little bit of posh, though, how about a little bit of Nat King Cole?
Boom, 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 boom. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah.
I'd like to love you every day, if I may,
if I may,
and dream dreams of you every night, if I might,
if I might,
and if I may, I'd like to say, I wish that you were mine. If I had you, all I would do is adore you all of the time. I'd like to tell you of your charms every day, if I may. I'd like to hold you in my arms every night, if I might. You're the object of my affections, and if you have no objections, I'd like to love you night and day, if I may.
I'd like to love you every day, if I may. And dream dreams of you every night, if I might. And if I may, I'd like to say, I wish that you were mine. If I had you, all I would do is adore you all the time.
I'd like to tell you of your charms every day, if I may. I'd like to hold you in my arms every night, if I might. You're the object of my affections, and if you have no objections, I'd like to love you night and day, if I may.
Nat King Cole and If I May, and before that, Amapola from Deanna Durbin. Very good morning to you. You're listening to Beagley at Night with me, RB, with one left lug hole. The right lug hole is completely gone now. Don't worry about it, I'm not. Where are we? We're on 98.6 in Gosport and Havant and various other places near them. We're also on various DAB multiplexes around the country, or even multiplexes around the country. And of course we are on the internet, and you can get details of internet listening and multiplex listening at angelradio.co.uk. Right now it's time for a little bit of posh, and we do have some nice posh for you this week. It is the overture of William Tell, and I think you're going to like it. And it is, the whole thing goes on for nearly 13 minutes, but you know what, they're all glorious.
Thank you.
Good stuff, huh? That was the St. Petersburg Festival Symphony Orchestra. Sergei Evgenin was conducting them, and that was the overture, of course, to William Tell. And in fact, the famous bit, which is the last bit, the overture, that particular version, lasted just under 13 minutes, and you have to wait until 10 minutes to get to the bit that everybody wants to hear. If you go to the whole opera, it's also the last bit of the opera as well, and the opera is, if you see it in its entirety, well over 4 hours. In fact, it was so long that when they produced the opera first time round, Rossini was forced to make several cuts. And indeed, most people now present it purely as a three-act opera and not a four-act opera. But the music is great, and it is Rossini. What can you say? Hope you enjoyed that little bit of posh for this week, the complete overture of William Tell, and not just the famous bit from The Lone Ranger. Time now for Day at Night.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy things, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon and gossamer wings, just one of those things. If we'd thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware that our love affair was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then, 'cause it was great fun, but it was just one of those things. the tree. My arms are waiting to hold my love wherever my lover may be. And so I'll walk in the moonlight till somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, yes I do. I love somebody, but I won't say who. Handsome say he's 6 feet tall, and his picture's on my wall. Love to be his baby doll. If he kissed me, I wouldn't mind at all.
I love somebody, yes I do. Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, yes, I do. Love somebody, but I won't say who. Don't know why she acts so shy. She ought to know I wouldn't dream of even hurting a fly. Hope she doesn't pass me by, 'cause if she did, I'd die. I know I'd die. I love somebody, yes, I do.
Love somebody,
yes, I do. Love somebody, yes, I do.
Love somebody, but I won't say who. He's big and strong.
Would you like to feel my muscle?
Bold and gay.
I never once lost a tussle.
At the moment, he's not very far away.
Why don't you say who? Say already.
I'd want to marry him today.
But you don't say who.
That I cannot do.
Happen to be me.
Possibility.
Won't you tell me who you love?
Love somebody.
Tell me true.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Love somebody.
I do too.
And I do.
Maybe me.
Love somebody.
I hope it's me.
Yes, I do.
Love somebody, but I won't tell who. Come on and confess.
Why don't you try and guess?
Do tell, let's tell.
You promise not to breathe a word?
Doris, don't be absurd.
Strictly entre nous?
We too.
Well?
Confidentially.
Between you and me.
Confidentially,
I love somebody.
I've got news for you.
Love somebody.
I feel that way too.
Love somebody.
Glad it's true.
That somebody that I love is you.
Nice stuff. That was Doris Day, Buddy Clark, and George Serravo and his orchestra with Love Somebody. And before that, it was Till My Love Comes to Me and Just One of Those Things. And that was our Day at Night section for this week. And we'll have another group of songs from the Great Double D around about the same time next week. Of course, we now have Deanna Durbin in the programme most weeks from now on, and she's also a Great Double D, so I'm going to have to think that one out and see what I can do.
We wake you up in the morning, we keep you on the go.
We're your company in the evening and at night when the lights are low.
Angel Radio, old-fashioned quality.
Big again.
'Twas on the Isle of Capri that I found her,
beneath the shade of an old walnut tree. Oh, I can still see the flowers blooming round her, where we met on the Isle of Capri. She was as sweet as the rose at the dawning, but somehow fate hadn't meant her for me. And though I sailed with the tide in the morn, still my heart's on the Isle of Capri. Summertime was nearly over, blue Italian sky above. I said, "Lady, I'm a rover, can you spare a sweet word of love?" She whispered softly, "It's best not to linger." And then as I kissed her hand, I could see she wore a plain golden ring on her finger. 'Twas goodbye on the Isle of Capri. Summertime was nearly over, blue Italian sky above. I said, "Lady, I'm a rover, can you spare a sweet word of love?" She whispered softly, "It's best not to linger." And then as I kissed her hand, I could see she wore a plain golden ring on her finger. Was goodbye on the Isle of Capri.
At the third stroke, the time on Angel Radio will be about 1939.
Tell me the words.
I'm longing to know. My prayer and the answer you give, may they still be the same. For as long as we live, that you'll always be there at the end of my prayer.
Glenn Miller and his orchestra once again with Ray Eberly and My Prayer. All right, we've reached the point in the program where we have some comedy, which of course we do have for you this week, starting off with the great Charles and Fiona.
Now, the trend in the theatre is back to the 40s, what is getting to be known as the wasn't it fun when they were dropping bombs on us and we were all half starving school of drama. Here's an excerpt from one of those war epics, The Hasty Nose, starring Dame Celia Mulstrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Captain's in there, miss. Second bed along, behind the screen. Don't stay too long, you'll tire him.
Thank you, Doctor. Charles.
You come, Fiona.
I had to come.
I knew you would.
I knew you knew I would.
Yes, I know. I always knew. And yet, I was uncertain. Lip-bitingly, stomach-turningly, heart-flutteringly, eyebrow-raisingly, shoulder-shruggingly uncertain. But still, somehow, sure. And you, Fiona?
I was sure, too. Stiff upper lippedly, teeth grittedly, dog in the mangerly, utterly, utterly sure, and yet somehow uncertain.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know.
You see, that's the wonderful thing about us. It's all unspoken.
Are they looking after you here, Charles?
Yes. The swelling's gone down.
My dear, does it still hurt?
Only when you poke it with your umbrella like that. Fiona, can you take a shock?
I'll try to be brave, Charles.
Look.
Ah! Charles.
Not a pretty sight, is it? Fiona. I've asked them to remove it.
Oh! Why, Charles? Why?
It's no good to me. I want them to take it away. I'd rather not have it at all than have it like this. Oh, it's cold, Fiona. It's cold. Do you understand, Fiona? Do you understand? You understand?
I understand, Charles. There's nothing worse than a cold, hot water bottle.
Thank you.
Now, recently I've been doing some research into the amazing cult of the Western. Men who have never been further west than London Airport. At weekends, strap on a gun belt and try to recreate the world of Boot Hill and Calamity Jane. And so, when I read this advertisement which said, Troll West young man, the lazy Boner Ranch welcomes you, I decided to investigate. And when I arrived at the ranch, the sign on the gate said, Ring and mosey on in. So I rang and moseyed. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Calamity Julian, and this is my partner Hopalong Sandy.
Oh, hello! Oh! Right! Oh, I never expected to see you. Right, it's little Bighorn. Oh, how Boner to Vardia, Dolly Old Eek again. Don't be strange, trolling.
Oh, thank you. So this is the lazy Boner?
Yes, do you like it? We tarted it up like a real Western Latin.
Yeah. What made you go in for this Western style of living?
We've always hankered after the grassroots. Oh. Hankered and pined we have, haven't we, Jude?
Oh, yes. We feel there's a crying need in this country today for men like us to get out into the open.
Open. Yeah. It was to fulfil this long-felt want that Jewel and me opened up this dude ranch. Dude. Two up, two down, and one out in the yard. Or, as we call it, the great outdoors.
Yes. Now, what's your curriculum?
Mondays, it's cow punching. Tuesdays, it's bronco busting. Wednesdays, buffalo wrestling.
And Thursdays?
That's flower arranging.
Never believe it, Mr. Horn, but Sam can do things with two arum lilies and a cactus make your eyes pop.
And I believe that while you're here, you adopt Western names.
Western names, yes, as you can see by my drag. I model myself on that tough Western desperado, Jesse Matthews.
Shouldn't that be Jesse James?
I know what I'm doing.
It's no good, mister. He's like that. I tried to tell him. I tried. I told him that floral out in the veil was all wrong.
Well, Jesse was wanted by the sheriff.
Yes, for robbing trains, not trolling about impersonating Mrs. Dale.
But who is Julian supposed to be?
You might well ask.
Well, who?
I am Bill Hickok.
Wild?
Outrageous!
No, well, I like the cozy, see? I mean, you can't beat a check shirt, high heel boots, and a pair of rough, shaggy chaps.
I have no comment to make at this time.
Well, now you're here, yes. We'll have to fix you up with some Western drag. How do you see him, Jewel?
Oh, I see him all in the black.
Oh, the black, yes.
Black shirt,
yes.
Black Levi's.
Mm.
Levi won't mind lending you his. It's very accommodating.
Yes, you can say that again.
Yes. And a black 10-gallon hat.
Yes, with wax fruit on it.
Oh,
yes. Like Marlene Dietrich in Destry Rides Again. Yes, the black's nice. It comes lovely in the black, Mr. Horn. It really does. No,
yes.
It does.
Omi's always safe in black, I
say. Safe in black, that's true. A little black. Oh, on the other hand, we could tart him up like Lawn Green.
Lawn Green?
Lawn Green, yes. In Bonananza. Bonananza.
Bonanza.
Please yourself. You've certainly got the Ponderosa for it. Anyway. We'll teach you all your actual simple Western pursuits.
Such as?
Making a lasso.
How'd you do that?
Creep up on her when she's not looking and pinch her.
Oh, he's a scream.
Isn't he? Yes.
Oh, Mr. Horn, yes. He keeps me in fits.
He does me too.
No, he does, though. Now, you'll be wanting to know about your sleeping arrangement.
Oh, yes, I will.
Well, Jewel bunks over there, yeah. I bunk over here, and then you bunk over there. Your pillow will be a saddle, you're only covering a horse blanket. But if you hear anything in the night, don't move.
Why not?
You're sharing it with yours.
Lovely now.
Well, Well, the nostalgia for the 40s is still with us. People are getting sentimental over the period when Peter Cook and Dudley Moore were known as Enoch and Ramsbottom. And Harold Wilson was still with Keppel and Betty. And here is an excerpt from one of those wonderful wartime films starring Dame Celia Millstrangler and aging juvenile Binky Huckaback.
Oh, Charles, what's happened to us?
Happened? To us?
Yes, happened. You've changed.
A man must change. After all, it's been 5 years, Fiona. A man can't wear the same vest forever.
Charles, it's more than that.
Yes, my socks as well.
How easy it is for you to be flippant. Oh, Charles.
What?
A woman, Charles, needs certain things. She needs sympathy, affection, devotion, understanding, tenderness, infatuation, adulation, idolatry. That isn't much to ask, Charles.
I know.
I know. Then why can't you give it to me?
It's not easy, Fiona.
Charles, is it her? Daphne?
Yes, Fiona. I must go. She needs me.
I need you. Does that mean nothing
Daphne
to you?
Daphne needs me more, much more. But I shall think of you all the time I'm with her.
I'll wait for you, Charles. You will come back to me, won't you? Oh, Charles, when will you come back? How long will it be this time?
That depends on Daphne. Goodbye, Fiona.
Goodbye, Charles.
Come along, Daphne. Walk is. Good doggy.
Now, in order to synchronize our language with the world surrounding us, I have invented an inflationary language. You know that in the English language are words that contain numbers, such words as wonderful, before, create, and so forth. Now, by adding one to each of these numbers, we have already instigated an inflationary language. So that wonderful, by adding one, will be tutorful. And before will be befive. Create will be crinine. And so on and so forth. Now, may I read to you a page from a book I have here with me, so that you can hear how this language sounds if it's being actually used. Twice upon a time, there was a young little Lebanon in the Army Air Fives named Bob, who lived in sunny California with his sister Anna. They had been very close ever since Anna saw the light of day for the second time. They were very proud of the fact that their five fathers had been among the crinitas of the American Constitution. Tonight they were commemorating her engagement to Don II. Oh, I must explain. He was from South America. His name was Don Juan. Because he goes up two. Oh, up one, actually, so it's Don II. another 10 egotists who hadn't even shown up. The table was beautifully decorated with Anna's favorite flowers, thrillips. Bob looked at his sister and said, "Elevenderly, darling, you look tootiful three night." "You never looked so lovely before, but you have three of the saddest eyes I have ever seen." Anna really looked tootiful in spite of the illness from which she had not yet recuperated. It was midnight. A clock in the distance struck 13. And suddenly there in the moonlight stood Don Two, obviously intoxicated. Bob jumped to his feet. "You three-faced triple crosser." But Anna, trying to avoid a scandal, said calmly, "Any two for 11 is." Bob grabbed from the table in front of him a piece of marinated herring. But Anna warned, "Don't throw it. Remember, you are an officer in the United States Air Five system." "Don Two," retorted. "Are you two? I am 2-3. Then he left, and when he was 1.5 way through the door, he turned. "Anna," he said as he wiped his five head, "if I can't have you, I shall never marry. I shall remain double." "Goodbye, Anna. Toodaloo, thriddaloo, thriddaloo."
Soft and warm, I long for his charms.
I'd sing like a violin if I were in his arms. Wish I knew if he knew what I'm dreaming of. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy.
Song after all of these years from 1957. That was Debbie Reynolds, of course, and Tammy. And for that, we had some comedy for you. Actually, I had to cut some out. We had so much lined up, but I did get rid of some. But we did hear Charles and Fiona, Hugh Paddock and Betty Marston, of course, In Hospital, and also Daphne. And that was from episodes 10 and 16 in series 2. We also heard from the Lazy Bona Ranch with Julian and Sandy, Hugh Paddock once again, and this time with Kenneth Williams, and of course the Inflationary Language from the great, or I should say the grind, Victor Borge. So I do hope you enjoyed the comedy this morning. I think it's interesting listening, especially to the English comedy there. You sort of know what's coming, and yet you still laugh. It's very, very cleverly done. And I don't know who was writing at that stage for the Around the Horn. I think it was probably still Barry Took and Marky Feldman at the time, because that was only in the second series. But it was very, very clever and very, very funny. I do hope you enjoyed it. We'll have some more comedy around about the same time next week. Right now, how about Lita Rosa?
When you go out for a meal with my rivals in town, that I mean to track you down. All but when out you sail for a date down in the dale, there's a dictaphone under every stone and a bloodhound on your trail. However, I got my eyes on you, so best beware where you roam. I've got my eyes on you, so don't stray too far from home. Incidentally, I've set my spies on you. I'm checking on all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise. Keep your eyes on me. Checking on all you do from A to Z. So, darling, just be wise. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your thank you.
Grace there, and Bistro, and before that, Lita Rosa, and I've got my eyes on you, and I got my eyes on the clock, because I have to go. I'd like to thank you for joining me for the last couple of hours. I've had a ball. I hope you've enjoyed the programme too. And all being well, we'll all be back here around about the same time next week when we get to do it all again. I leave the last song to Eddie Fisher with Hugo Winterhalter's orchestra, and Everything I Have Is Yours. And may I be the first to wish you a very good morning.
Everything I have is yours. You're part of me. Everything I have is yours. My destiny. I would gladly give the sun to you if the sun were only mine. I would gladly give the earth to you and the stars that shine. Everything that I possess for you. Let my dream of happiness come true. I'd be happy just to spend my life waiting at your beck and call. Everything I have is yours. My life, my all. Happy just to spend my life waiting at your beck and call.